Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Stephen Kemp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service within the U.S. General Services Administration. Also joining us from IBM is Ken Beecher. So, Steve, the mission of GSA is to foster an effective, sustainable, and transparent government. To that end, would you elaborate on your efforts to pursue sustainable business practices, incorporating the concept of sustainability in pricing products and services provided by FAS?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you watch sustainability in the marketplace, and this is a very fast-evolving concept. But I think if you look at most organizations, they really are focusing in on sustainability because it drives profit. It drives bottom line for industry. And much of the same thing is happening with the government too. And I think the best way to really look at this, the way we look at this, is the triple bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's about people, it's about profit, and it's about the planet. And, you know, and I think, you know, where we sit in terms of contracting and a lot of the things we do are around contracting and managing the supply chain. You know, contracting officers always are worried about the bottom line, the pricing. So how, you know, how is sustainability helping the bottom line in terms of what things cost? That's always important. You know, we've always, as the government, looked at socioeconomic issues. So, you know, how does sustainability help in terms of, you know, business, innovation, the socioeconomic goals of the government? And then finally, you know, when we look at the planet, no matter when we do a contract, there's always a technical component of it. And more often than not, we're looking at sustainability as part of that conversation around what are the technical merits of competing options for the government. And as standards evolve and as the understanding of what sustainability means evolve, you know, the contracting officers are depending on us to help them understand what are the true real values of sustainability. So we have some really strong standards like Energy Star and EPEAT that are well known and easy to understand. Maybe easy is a little bit tough here, but they're better understood than some of the more evolving. Sure. So, you know, we're continuing to watch the marketplace to find those standards that are important and truly valuable to the government as a purchaser, and helping the procurement professionals and the program people really help them understand how to gauge them, how to use them in the procurements, and then what the government will get in terms of value from them.
So I'd like to change the focus a little bit to the federal supply chain and how you're seeking to modernize and green the supply chain by reducing waste and increasing efficiencies. And more particularly, what are some of the key challenges you're meeting in trying to do this? And are you leveraging any best practices from the private sector?
Sure. We have a whole group within FAS that, you know, as part of our value proposition, is actually working on this. So, and it's helping the agencies in terms of, you know, we have a greenhouse gas tool where agencies actually can see how they're doing. And part of that is the supply chain, but also trying to work across the agencies and with industry on normalizing what it means to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, what are the emerging standards out there? How do we all talk about this collectively in the same way? So we do a lot of work with industry, try to understand how they're approaching this. Mm-hmm. So we can have an understanding of how we can look at sustainability in terms of, you know, it's not all just about greenhouse gas. Sometimes it's about water usage. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of components to this. So depending upon where you are in the marketplace, you know, if you're a professional services firm, this looks different than if you're a manufacturer. And if you're a manufacturer in this segment, it's much different than if you're manufacturing IT or if you're manufacturing or providing food. I mean, so these things change from industry to industry to industry. So no one approach will work for everything. So there's a lot of nuance to this, and it's a very difficult problem to solve because there's no one answer that the government can give that everybody will be happy. And so we're really looking at this from a very broad approach and trying to do the right thing to help both the government and industry understand what the government's actually trying to do.
And not get locked into one cookie cutter approach that won't work.
Absolutely. Or will be outdated as this, you know, evolves. And because this is a very quickly evolving issue for the government.
Stephen, you know, as we're having this conversation, you know, we're talking about managing contracts, we're talking about supply chain modernization, telecommunications, networks. Yet another thing on your plate that you're responsible for is transforming the government's IT infrastructure through visualization and consolidation of data centers and helping really agencies move into this cloud-first business model. What is FAS doing to help move federal agencies to the cloud?
Well, we've done a lot of things, but one of the things I want to talk about first is GSA's move to email, because I think we learned some really interesting things from that that the government will benefit from. And I think this whole GSA first strategy is really interesting too, because we learned first that it could be done. So we moved our email to the cloud. Nothing horrible happened. And so that's important, because then all of a sudden everybody was interested. It can be done. I'd like to do it. GSA, what did you learn? You know, so we can share some of those experiences. I think Casey Coleman, our CIO, has been out talking about that a lot. But then also we're developing some BPAs for the agency so that they can, we'll help them define some solutions that'll be easier for them to buy as they go forward with this. And I think that's really instructive in terms of what we can really do to help agencies. So when we move into this, finding somebody to go first, documenting how that happened, and then creating some of the templates to actually do this. Because I think across the government, few want to go first, and everybody's really willing and anxious to go second. So I think that is really important for us in helping agencies move forward around this IT. So Mary Davey, who leads our ITS portfolio, really working closely with the CIO Council on some of these things like infrastructure as a service and FedRAMP to help define and align service offerings. And in many instances, we have a lot of options out there, whether it's the IT schedules, some of our GWACs, or the networks program, where we can buy almost anything anybody needs without a new contract, without a new vehicle. So it's really the how do you do it? What are the templates? What are the lessons learned to really help the agencies be effective and, you know, reduce some of the risk as they move forward with the IT purchasing?
One concern that not only agencies but, you know, U.S. citizens, public have is a secure cloud. You mentioned FedRAMP earlier. Can you discuss some of the other things that FAS is doing to alleviate not having a secure or having a secure environment?
Well, I think FedRAMP is really an important program because, you know, and when you look at security, I think leveraging our resources in order to define what secure is, and then actually assure ourselves that when we're buying things like under the cloud, that they are secure. So if we're going to buy a cloud solution as the government 30 times, one assessment will be good, as long as we can be assured that it was done right, they looked at the right thing. So we're working with NIST and others that defined what that is. So I think that's really important too, so that, again, here, leveraging the government security resources and the smart people that work on information assurance across the government, because we don't have as many of them as we probably need, and we need to leverage them as well. So, you know, again, working across the agencies around this, and the folks from Dave McClure's office are leading this for GSA, really important. Another thing that we're looking at here is supply chain risk management. What kinds of things are we needing to look at with respect to actual products? You know, the counterfeit products, are we getting what we actually are paying for in terms of real servers and those kinds of things? And I think we're doing some work with that across the agencies too. And this is an emerging issue for us, that we are sure we're getting what we ask for and that it's real products and that we can count on the warranties and the veracity of the products.
You know, you mentioned leveraging resources, not just within GSA, but really throughout the public sector. And another cornerstone of successful performance management is, of course, support from leadership, but also good use of analytics. Would you elaborate on how FAS is using analytics to not only improve services and quality, but also identify new customers and services?
Well, I think right now we are looking at three particular things that we're doing with key demographics. First, our employees. You know, we do something every year called the Q12 survey, which measures our employee engagement. Really important measure to us. You know, how are our employees doing? How do they like their job? Are they able to use their best talents every day that they come into the workplace. Really important for us in terms of having the right people on the job. Secondly, this year we switched over to something called a customer loyalty survey versus a customer satisfaction survey. How happy are our customers with what we're doing? You know, the key questions around that is, would you come back to us again? And even more importantly, would you recommend us to a friend? You know, so we're looking at that and we're getting back some information from them that we're using to improve our programs. So the business line leaders are looking at the data that we're getting to find ways to improve. And then lastly, we're launching a supply chain relationship survey. So talking to industry about what we should be doing better, how we're doing with them. You know, and this is important for us because we want to be easy to do business with. You know, if you had a choice about how to get to me as a supplier, we want them to say the best way to get to me is through one of GSA's contracts, and this is why, and there's a value to that. All those three things, those numbers are moving in the right direction for us, and if they continue to move in the right direction for us, that means our customers are going to be happy, the industry is going to be happy, what the government gets for what it's paying will improve too. So reduce the risk of success on projects and the overall results that the government gets from everything that they get from GSA. And that's where we're really moving as an organization.
Following along that, the importance of what you do, you know, reflecting on your leadership, would you tell us how you continue to keep your employees focused and motivated? Your administrator slams are well documented. So what is Stephen Kempf doing as far as keeping his workers and offices motivated?
I look to somebody like Daniel Pink, who talks about the surprising truth about what motivates us. And he talks about three things that are really important. One is autonomy. One is mastery. And the last thing is purpose. And one of the fortunate things about being in FAS is we have this sort of organization that has a lot of entrepreneurial capabilities. So we have a little bit of autonomy that's really unique to our organization. And the employees feel that. And it's a great place to work because you understand that. And they have the ability to use this mastery. So when we talk about, you know, being the subject matter expert or the commodity manager for the whole federal government, really interesting place to come and really develop those skills and have some results. And then the purpose. And, you know, we have some really remarkable people who've had some, you know, extraordinary opportunities.
And, you know, you did speak about tools right now. And really to that end, telework and virtual workplaces are changing the way government does its business. So would you elaborate on these workplace changes and their benefits?
Sure. This is really interesting to me when I talk about GSA goes first and FAS goes first. You know, I think our 1800F transformation is really one of those things. All of the agencies are trying to find ways to economize. And one of those ways is the space. You know, many of the private sector companies have really reduced their space and people are teleworking. So GSA is, I think, leading in this. So whether it's our work on telework and sharing it across the agencies about what we're doing, what we're learning, new policies that will be able to implement this, including the way we work with our unions in order to get this done. And then the space itself. So how do we get into collaborative space where we can change the way we work so that employees will be sharing more and, you know, seeing each other more in the office or not seeing each other more but still interacting when they're working at home. So, and again, here, GSA going first in terms of what we're doing with 1800F. So how we do this and set the example for the rest of the government to follow, I think will be really important. And, you know, from a FAST perspective, we're looking at this in terms of a way to change the way we do our work in order to increase collaboration, increase productivity, getting back to your earlier question about how do you do more with less. You know, you have smarter workers who work together better and then produce better results.
You know, as a follow-on, you know, we keep hearing FAS first. And from what I understand, GSA is willing to take risk, right? So what is your risk mitigation of being this first of an agency? And how can you learn from it and the like of communicating that to other federal agencies?
Well, I think two things. One, you know, what is an acceptable level of risk? You know, so I mean, you don't want to be crazy, and you don't want to do things that are going to break your organization. the second piece of this is really around how can some of this risk help FAST move forward? You know, so what kind of risk do we want to take in order to improve our program?
What does the future hold for GSA's Federal Acquisition Service? We will ask its commissioner, Stephen Kempf, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.